It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Glad that you've joined us today. We're in the study of Exodus. I keep wanting to say Genesis. In the book of Exodus, and we're going to begin reading with the chapter 11, verse 1. Now, last time we were together, we got all the way down through the 6th verse, but there's just too much there. We really need to reread that, and we're going to do that today. And so please that you would take your Bibles, open them up to Exodus chapter 11. We'll begin reading with the first verse. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. And we're about to get our website back up and running properly. And you can find us on the website here, hopefully, in just a short period of time at parkviewbiblechurch.org. That's parkviewbiblechurch.org. And so I hope that you'll enjoy that site. It won't be long that we'll be up, and you can enjoy the study of that too. And so please be checking. I would appreciate it. Now we're at Exodus chapter 11. And we're beginning to read with the first verse. And the Lord said unto Moses, Yet will I bring one plague more unto Pharaoh and unto Egypt. Afterwards he will let you go. Hence, when he shall let you go, he shall surely thrust you out hence altogether. Speak now in the ears of the people, and let every man borrow of his neighbor and every woman of her neighbor. Jewels of silver, jewels of gold. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servants, and in the sight of the people. And Moses said, Thus saith the Lord, About midnight will I go out unto the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon his throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of the beasts. And there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall be like it any more. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue, against man or beast, that he may know how that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. All these thy servants shall come down unto me, and bow down themselves unto me, saying, Get thee out, and all the people that follow thee, and after that I will go out. And he went out from Pharaoh in a great anger. And the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that my wonders may be multiplied in the land of Egypt. And Moses and Aaron did all these wonders before Pharaoh. And the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, so that he would not let the children of Israel go out of his land. Chapter 12, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. They shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the prudence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until morning ye shall burn with fire. Thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial. Ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And in the first day there shall be a holy convocation, and the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. And ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in the selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. Now we're going to end with the reading there, and we're going to begin with prayer. Father, I thank you that you have brought this, your word, before us. Please that you'll guide and lead us as we study today. I just praise you for it. I thank you for it. I ask that you'll lead us through your word. It is your living word. So, dear Lord, please that we don't make it something of our own. In other words, please that we don't change it, but we give it out as truth. We give it out in its fullness. We do not add to it. We do not take away from it. We just enjoy its presence. And dear Father, you have given us such a beautiful, beautiful picture of your Son, the Lord Jesus, as he's going to come to the cross. Oh, I thank you for this tonight and today, and please that you'll show it to us today, that we may see it ever so clearly. Oh, I just, please, touch every heart. Those that are lost, that have never come by faith, let them see it today and come to you today and be saved today. And those, dear Father, that have never come or have come to you and are saved, please, that they will look at it and be serious and trust in your precious blood and begin this walk today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we have watched the people of Israel as they have labored, and now the delivery has come, the deliverance has come. And so as we look at this 11th chapter, we find that Pharaoh is bringing one more plague, or the God is bringing one more plague against Pharaoh. Pharaoh has said to Moses in the past chapter that you will no longer, if you come before me, you're going to die. And Moses says, you're right there. I'm not going to come before you one more time because it's over. And so God brings him out, and as he does so, he opens up the hearts of the people of Egypt to just pour out and hand them their jewels and their silver and their gold. And all this is for a purpose, and this purpose we'll find out shortly, as we find everyone will need silver, because you'll give a half a shekel, and we're going to look at how important that is. And so every person that listened to God and listened to the word of God as it came to them, every person that listened, responded correctly, everyone will find that they have really enjoyed the blessings of that. If they didn't listen, then it's a curse to them. And so I ask today that you listen very carefully. So we find in the second verse there of the 11th chapter that they are to go before the people, ask them for their goods, and the Egyptian people will hand it to them. And so this was done, and we have that in place. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of the Pharaoh's servants, and in the sight of the people. And Moses said, "Thus saith the Lord, about midnight I will go out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn of the land of Egypt shall die, for the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth up on his throne, even until the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the mill, and that firstborn of the beast. And there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall be like it any more." What a terrible judgment is going to come upon the land of Egypt. You know, we can expect the same in this land as we watch our leaders and government officials and the schools, things like that. Everyone has taken out the presence of God, the name of God, and you can speak of any other cult or any other religion, but please do not speak of the true God. And we will pay for that. Judgment will come to this land, I promise you. And it's not coming because I said it. It's coming because God's word is true and God's word is real, and He holds people and governments responsible for their ignorance in this case, because that's what it is. When our land and our officials do not seek the will of God, I'm not talking a religion, I'm talking the will of God, the maker and creator of this world. We need to pray for our officials that they will seek the wisdom of God and that they will speak in prayer unto God. And so as times continue, it is just unbelievable how that the name of God, the name of Jesus, it just does not exist. It can't exist because it's appalling to this world, and it is. It just shows you that the old devil, Satan, has taken this world over. And if you're one that stands against the name of Jesus, if you stand against the name of God, and you don't want to have it in the public schools, Satan is your God. He is your leader, and you're being led around. He's got you by the ear and just dragging you everywhere. I don't serve that kind of God. I don't serve the God of this world. And so please that you will recognize that, repent today, and come by faith to Jesus Christ for salvation. We find that what's going to happen here, we're going to see a big difference here, because what's going to happen is the people of Israel are not going to be touched. Because as the people of Israel come about, it's even not a dog move his tongue against man or beast, that ye may know how that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and the Israelites. And today we can see the same difference. There's going to be a judgment come, and there's going to be a difference between the lost, those that are rebellious and refuse to come by faith to Jesus Christ, and those that are saved, truly saved, born-again believers. There is a difference between them. It's a life or death difference. And it's a spiritual death. It's a total separation from God. And there's going to be a time that last soul is going to be saved, and God's going to take His church home. And I'm leaving here bodily with my glorified body. What a wonderful day that's going to be. And I'm looking forward to that day, and I believe that day is soon. And you folks that decided that the church wasn't for you, God isn't for you, I don't believe it, I don't want anything to do with it, or you do, you're very religious, you've got your church, you've got your cult, and you've followed after things other than God's truth, God's word. And if that's what you've done, all of you, either you are an atheist and you don't believe any of it, or you're so religious and you speak of God and you even say the name of Jesus on occasion, but you've never come by faith to Him, never. Judgment's coming. Judgment's coming here, and you're going to walk right into the tribulation period. I'm going to be gone. I'm not facing that tribulation period. I know that I'm going to be gone prior to the tribulation beginning, and there's 7 years of tribulation, and then I'm coming back with Jesus Christ, and I'm going to come back here, and as he plants his feet upon this earth, and he sets up his kingdom for 1,000 years, I'm going to be with him. And what a rejoicing that'll be. And I hope that you know the Word of God, because that's what the Word of God tells us, that the church is leaving before the rapture starts. And so, you know, you may be a mid-tribulationist, you may be a post-tribulationist. The Word of God, I believe, is very clear. I'm a pre-tribulationist. I believe that the church will leave prior to the beginning of the tribulation period. I don't believe we're going to be here for any of it. I praise God for that, and I'm going to be with him in heaven. And again, if I'm still alive at that time, I will go bodily, receiving my glorified body. If not, if I face the grave, then my body will come out of that grave first before those that are alive be taken up, and I'll receive my glorified body. Either way, I'm going to be in his presence prior to the tribulation starting. There's a difference. There's going to be a big difference between the Egyptians and the Israelites. And all these thy servants shall bow down unto me, and bow down themselves unto me, saying, get thee out, and all the people that follow thee. And after that I will go out. And he went out from Pharaoh in a great anger. And so what we have here is, and the heat of anger might be something you have written there, but what we have is the decision, the time is coming. It is the ultimate, it is the final blow, because it is against the gods, all gods of Egypt. In the 12th chapter over there in verse 11, it says, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. And so this is the ultimate. This is the one that's going to come against them. And so we find that at that time Pharaoh will command them to leave, and we know that's exactly what takes place. In verse 9, and the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that my wonders may be multiplied in the land of Egypt. He's not going to accept it. He is going to reject it as he has always rejected it. And so we need to see and to focus here upon this event that's taking place. We need to look very carefully what determines the one that is saved and the one that dies. You need to see that difference, because maybe you've never seen that before. And Moses and Aaron did all these wonders before Pharaoh, and the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart so that he would not let the children of Israel go out of the land. All this was reported unto him. It was told of him what was going to come, and he could have said, go, just go right now. But instead of that, he was so hard-hearted. And you've met people that's just like that. No matter what they see, no matter how they watch a people's life, folks' life change, be born again, they still reject it. And they do not want anything to do with the power and the presence of God. Well, they will have something to do with the power and presence of God, because that power and his presence will be the one that takes your hand and opens the door, the hatch to the lake of fire, and casts you in there, and you're going to be in there eternally. And so that's the final judgment. That takes place after the 1,000-year millennium. Now we get to the 12th chapter here, and something takes place, because as we look at the 1st through the 11th chapter of the book of Exodus, it all talks about the deliverer, the one that's come to deliver. It is the training of him. It is the coming of him. It is the steps of the plagues with Pharaoh. All that takes place in the first 11 chapters. But now the 12th through the 14th chapter, it goes beyond the deliverer, and it comes to the deliverance. And even though Moses is the deliverer, he's the one that's come to lead my people out. He's the one that's coming. But the deliverance, it is all God's doing, as in preparing the deliverer. All this has come. Moses has come for the purpose of leading the people of Israel out. But when it comes to that last step, that last deliverance. Moses can't do it. Aaron can't do it. Nobody can do it except God. And God comes and he sets forth the rules of this deliverance, of how it's going to take place. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you, a new birth. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take of them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. If the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. Now we're going to just stop reading right there, because there's an awful lot going on here, and I don't want you to miss one little bit of it. We have, again, the first 11 chapters speaks of Moses, the man that's coming to deliver the nation of Israel out. But now in the next couple of verses, we have went from the deliverer to the deliverance, the actual act of it happening. All these things that's been taking place and been coming forward here in the life and the family of the Israelites, and also all the things that's been happening to Egypt. Now, Egypt is a picture of the world. And here is Israel locked in there. They ask, give us 3 days' journey that we can take our families out and we can worship. And every time, Pharaoh, if he would make an offer, it had to be under his terms. He never said, go ahead, just go. Instead of that, he would set the terms. And the terms changed from one side to the other, back and forth, as far as go by yourselves, go and but don't take any livestock. Why don't you just worship here? I'll let you worship here. Just worship here. You see, Pharaoh always had to have his way. And we can't do it that way. It's not man's way. It's not Pharaoh's way. It's not some president's or some great official of the world's way. It's God's way. And you begin to tamper with God's way, you're going to have to pay the consequences. And so that's what happened here. They played the game, and they kept playing the game and playing the game. Well, it's not long here that there is a result of that game that they were playing, and that's going to be judgment, and it's going to be eternal judgment, and it's going to be the lake of fire. And with all the different plagues that have come, you know, we've had the water into blood, the frog invasion, we've had the lice, the flies, the cattle disease, the boils, the hail with fire, the locusts, and then the 3 days of darkness, if you remember that. And now we're down to the last, the death of the firstborn. Every time, old Pharaoh, he'd harden his heart a little more. But he always, even if he made an offer to them, it was a compromise. I've talked to you about compromises. We're not to compromise. We're to stand upon the Word of God. And so we have talked of what was going to happen to Egypt. And we've also made the statement that Israel is not going to be bothered by this plague. But we find now, the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you a beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. We're coming out with a new beginning. We're brand new. That's what God's saying. We're made new here. And you know, as he speaks to these people, He speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, and he begins to set the day and the time. You know, they entered into Egypt with 70 souls. And that 70 souls was basically just one family. It was the head, it was Jacob, and then it was his immediate descendants, and they went into the land of Egypt. It was Jacob and his sons. And so it was a family, and it was just a series of small families went into this land. And so now that they're leaving Egypt, they're not coming out as this small family that went in. They're coming out as a great and mighty nation. We're anywhere from 2, maybe up to 3 million people are leaving the land of Egypt. It went in with 70 souls, and God has blessed it so that we're coming out with this 2 to 3 million. You know, it doesn't matter. You know, they're a nation. But that nation is still a series, a group of families. And, you know, it doesn't matter whether it's a nation we're speaking of or whether it's a church we're talking about. Never is the church or the nation ever any stronger than the family that's within that nation or that church. And if the families begin to fall, and we can see that today with the level of homosexuals and the desire to leave the marriage away from a man and a woman to two men or two women, and when that comes, we know that this nation is doomed, because never can a nation stand without the security and the strength of the family. Never can a church stand and be true and strong. Oh, there's thousands of them around, probably even millions of them around, that even accept such doctrines as the homosexuals, and they have no problem with that. You know, you need to understand that a homosexual, if they would come into this church, there's only one thing they need to do, and that is they need to repent. They don't need to repent to me. They need to repent to God, because they've sinned. It's just that simple. They're a sinner just like anybody else. But to stay in that sin, that's what's wrong. To come and repent and come out of it, that's victory. And so that's the difference. Now, and I want you to understand, I want you to see that this nation, because of the degrading of the family, and the falling of the family unity, the family body, it is bringing judgment upon this land, because as the family becomes weak, so does the nation, and so does the church. Because again, it will never stand, never. It will never stand without the strength of the family. And so we need to see that. And so we begin that in the very first two verses. The Lord spake unto Moses and to Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye to all the congregation of Israel. And again, it's a mighty nation. A mighty nation. Went in as a family, come out as a nation. But it's actually just coming out of family after family after family. And that's where the strength is at. The strength is in the family. And so if you want strength in your church, if you want this nation to turn around and be strong and powerful, then we need to know that it has to come through and by each strong family. And so then we begin. And we have here in the third verse, speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, remember the new beginning, now the 10th day of this month, they shall take of them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. We're back to, he didn't speak to the nation as, he spoke to the nation as a whole, but he brought it down, broke it down into individual households. And that's the way deliverance is going to come. And it's not going to just come with the deliverance of each household. It's going to be an individual. And we're going to knock it down from a nation to a family to an individual, because every one of us have to make a decision for Jesus Christ. No one can make it for you. And once you have come by faith to Jesus Christ and your family has come, Then each one of you individually, but then as a family, you're so strong. And as that family turns into two families and three families and four families and on to thousands of families strong following after Jesus Christ, then we have a great nation and a strong nation. And so there's two things here that I want you to see before we close, and we're sure running out of time quickly. One is the family. The other is going to be the blood. It says, take a lamb. And we're going to look at the blood. Now, I hope that you don't miss next time because it's a very important study. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?